Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Band in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Band in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and sack it. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.
And there we go. June 18th, Tuesday night, 2013. This week's edition of Whiskey Bent in the Pit Barbecue Radio. I'm your host, Chad Ward, and we have 2 hours of fun and excitement ready for you tonight. We're going to actually, we've got two new folks to the show tonight. We've got Walt Mouton from Rocky Top Barbecue, which won Tryon KCBS this weekend, which was 93 teams, and did it in a pretty definitive fashion. Coming on the show, also Sam's Club local winner. So all around, good cook. Never talked to the guy. Just saw that he won this weekend. Put some feelers out there online. Says, you know, hey, love to come on the show. I'll do it. Thanks to Big Wayner out there, Wayne Brown. I would say he was probably the catalyst. Which, by the way, Big Wayner, I did not tell you in chat, but I was telling myself, first time I've ever really kind of looked at your Pitmasters recaps and the drinking game. But the one where you have to drink because somebody on Pitmaster says, that's me? Holy shit. There will be liver transplant recipients all over the country if they play that game. Because, I mean, I guess, and I'm sure, having been on a TV show or two, they probably say, hey, whenever they say something about your number, say, that's me or that's us. Dipshit's barbecue, you know, or whatever the case is. I mean, so when I was finally reading through, you know, and I will tell you, Wayne, when I got there, I read through them all. I went back up through last year's season B, last year's season A. I mean, I read through them all when I looked at it. But that was the first one I clicked on, and I was like, drinking game. That's me. Oh, Lord. I'll tell you what, dude. If you could explain to any major liquor or beer company what you're doing there with that, I think you could pick up a nice website sponsorship because that was pretty dang hilarious whenever I heard that. So you're doing a good job there. And once again, thanks for getting me hooked up with Walt, our first guest tonight. Then we're going to go over and we're going to have Scott Smith from Skewing, Stewing, and Brewing. Fellow Team Grizzly cooler guy and someone that is just cooking on fire this year. He won the Jefferson, Indiana contest this weekend. He's also qualified through local Sam's Club and into regional Sam's Club. But yeah, Scott's a great guy, got his hands in a lot of things, competition barbecue, smokers, custom-built trailers, the whole nine yards, but cooking real, real well. I want to talk to him about the GC this weekend and about just where his 2013 sits and what happens. So then we're going to close out with Jason Wickham, which we had on last week from Team Unknown Barbecue, talking about the Oklahoma Relief Benefit down here not too far from us in Winter Haven, Florida. From what I hear, I've kind of purposely not tried to get the full recap, but from what I hear, really, really great results. Looks like they're going to be sending a pretty good check to the folks out in Oklahoma that were devastated by this, by the tornadoes and the inclement weather and all those things out there. So it'll be cool to hear what happens with that. Real quick, guys, my weekend, I was fortunate enough to cook a class down at the Hyatt Regency Resort in Bonita Springs, also kind of the Naples area, quote-unquote. what a blast it was. What a beautiful resort. Amazing food, not cooked by, I mean, I think the stuff we did cook in the class was good, but the restaurants they have there on site, the three pools, the presidential suite, which they rolled out for me, which was quite awesome, was a good time, but just a really, really nice resort. We had a great time. Early jury verdict comes back that we will probably be doing it again next year for Father's Day weekend, so really, really good time. Everybody in the class really, really learned something. We ended up with damn near 40 folks in the class and around 100 that attended the Father's Day luncheon. So that was kind of cool. And for a first-year event, it was really, really awesome. We were fortunate enough to do 6 segments of TV on Friday morning, carried a 15-minute radio interview, a couple of newspaper articles. And everybody that was there seemed to have a good time. So keep an eye out for that next year and maybe a couple other opportunities on the resort side of things before next year back down at that location. We'll keep you posted. With that being said, let me see if my buddy Michael McDermott, he is here. We had a pretty light show open, so I saw Michael was in chat tonight. You know, he's always traveling, got things going on, and let's bring him in here real quick. Michael McDermott, how are you? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, that's me.
How's it going?
You better drink. I said that's me.
I did. It was great timing because I just did. I am still finishing off this Mexican beer that I bought a ton of for our Mexican Memorial Day weekend celebration. And hey. I am drinking some Sol now, and it's actually pretty good. But I have that's me. And now you're a guy that has said that to me a couple of times.
Hey, that's me.
No, both. I think you have said, hey, that's me, and some cerveza. The
difference is that when you're on the show like me this season, you're living it instead of drinking it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What, have you guys got an air date for your episode yet?
I have not been told the air date, but I'm sure it'll be coming out. You'll see where. You're not going to miss me. Who's that skinny guy? Grill master. This is Pit Masters.
Yeah, so, I know, I think, I've seen a couple days. I know Rubs is 6:30, so he'll be pulling us up here at the end of June, which really is only 2 weeks away. So,
yeah. Well, what are we, 3 episodes in? And they've been eventful episodes. Great stuff.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I don't expect you to remark on this because
I can't.
You're on the show this season. This week's episode pretty good. Last week's episode absolutely horrible. But this week, I mean, even though there were 3 restaurateurs, because I said, okay, Chad, maybe that's your hard on with things. When you get out there and you see, you know, 2 of the 3 people are restaurant people, you kind of just get, you know, jaded about it, you know, because this started as a competition barbecue show and it's now evolved and blah, blah, blah. So I've tried to talk myself into, you know, why am I so negative about it sometimes? But then, you know, this week I actually kind of enjoyed. There was 3 restaurants on there, all different casting characters. I thought it was great to see the team from Ubon's on there. You know, I mean, they're kind of barbecue, you know, legacy, if you will. Thought the guy from Philly was okay, except, you know, he... Yeah, I mean, he brought that huge cooker down there and fought that thing the whole time. You know what I'm saying? But I gotta say, the guy I enjoyed the most actually won the contest. The Michael character guy. That guy was just, I mean, he was just fun. He was funny as hell.
Character came from
the deep
end of the character pool.
When he said that beef claw looked like dragon tongue, I was like, that's classic. That is really cool. So let's talk about you, man. I know you had a little bit of time on your hands off the road. Dude, sounds like the outdoor kitchen and classrooms coming together. You know, tell us what's going on with you, my man.
Man, I'm back in Rocky Top. I'm just singing Rocky Top because we had double vol wins over in Tryon and then over in Lexington, Kentucky at the Sam's Club, Government Pork. I think they're UT fans as well. So the Vols were doing good this weekend. Football team can't win, but the barbecue teams are doing all right.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man.
I happen to be in Lexington, Kentucky, so I came back and doing some touches on the classroom. We're actually setting up for the last week of July. I'm going to set up a beef class in And y'all are the first to know, actually. That came together today and over the past 2 days. It's going to be fantastic. So the
so you're
beef council's
be...
involved, and the state beef council, Tennessee beef council. So, good
well,
stuff.
I mean, that's a great group of folks to have involved.
It sure is.
Your classes are definitely are definitely focused more towards the grilling. I mean, they're going to be no overnight smoking class at this point, are they?
We're
going to
do everything live fire. So if it's got flames, we're
okay.
doing it.
Oh, cool. So Dutch oven.
We're not going to go into the. I'm going to leave everybody else, out there for their classes, the rope bag bees and three eyes and those guys for the competition classes. But what we're looking at for the smoking would be more on the here's the basics, here's how to improve your smoking techniques and here's how to take it to the next level. A lot of my stuff is going to be three levels. Here's how to build a normal burger just to cook it normally. Here's how you enhance it, and here's just the mega deluxe grease down your chin, love it, egg yolk down your chin too, whatever. And we're going to do everything from the charred and scruffed side of things directly on the coals, Dutch ovens, cold smoking. We'll be doing cold smoking here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a full spectrum. If it's got smoke or fire, we're going to be doing it.
Awesome, man. That is too cool. And that's one of the, I will say the same thing. I mean, all I have focused on with my class is kind of the backyard folks too. And I still find I have so much fun with it because, I this weekend, we had 40 plus people in the class at the resort, and my best six question asking guys were 60 plus.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've been kind of barbecuing my whole life, and I never barbecue and grill because we did two smoked meats and three grilled meats over two days.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, oh, man, I mean, you've kind of got a different look on things. I was like, and so they had 110 questions, but at the end of the day, man, all of them were like, dude, if you taught the same five recipes next year, I'd still come back. I had such a good time. And they're like, do you really want to give us your email address and phone number? Because we're going to have a ton of questions. I always thought it'd be the other way around. You had these older guys that would kind of be, set in their ways and, listen to this guy. He thinks he knows. No. That they were so damn inquisitive. It was really, really awesome.
It is, and I think it's the same as us when we go to a class. I know you went through Rubb's class and went out and had some great success from the and you've even said you attribute it
absolutely.
To a class type of setting. And with that, we always pick up something. It doesn't matter how old we are, how long we've been in it. I've been cooking outdoors since I was 7 years old, so that's 35 years right there. And, there's a lot of tips and tricks that I'm still picking up. And just because I taught the two-time world champs in steak does not mean that I'm sitting there thinking I know it all. Beware of the person who says they know it all because they really know nothing. There was some, old Confucius-type author, somebody like that, one of the philosophers said that. So always beware of somebody who says they know it all.
Absolutely. So what else? What else is cracking with you, man?
Well, I'm writing an all beef cookbook this year and doing some videos and all that fun stuff. It's been really interesting. You start to see people get outside and barbecue and things, and then the momentum is amazing on the company side and corporate side too. On, oh wow, let's get out there, let's do this. Their excitement builds. It's fun. It's a fun time right now. I think it's going to be really positive for all of barbecue this season as far as the corporate involvement.
No, I completely agree with you. And honestly, I mean, I was talking to, I'm fortunate to have two really, really good friends that are pretty significant players and Bassmasters. I mean, they're, one of them's won the Bassmaster Classic and the other one's his brother that's, always usually in the top 10 at the end of the year. And Bassmaster points, and we were actually kind of shooting the breeze the other day at lunch over an iced tea and talking, and he said, Chad, I'll tell you, I think barbecue's got more momentum than what bass did in the 80s. He said, because the one thing you guys got is somebody can go out there, if they really want to do it, pay, $1,000-$2,000 and get a really good griller, a really good smoker, and, go out there and chase that thing. He's like, on our side of things, he's like, yeah, you could go find a used bass boat, but, you know, it's got to be something that's reliable. He goes, yeah, most guys to get into even just fishing local tournaments are going to be 7,500 to 10 G's into the thing, bottom, you know. You know, and I
well, the growth potential in the demographic market that they can reach is fantastic. And I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but even take a look at your show. If you go back and listen, folks, on iTunes, I do that sometimes. And Chad's got a show there that talks about sponsorship with somebody in the racing industry and how much just those engines and all that stuff costs. It's insane. You know, and they're driving around in these rigs that have to carry that stuff that are six figure just to pull the cars around to the shows or to the
rigs.
That's
crazy.
Barbecue is a fantastic, and everybody does it, or everybody wants to. You know, it's one of those American pastimes that everybody just, you know, I heard today, the florist doesn't sell the roses. They sell the memories. They sell the celebrations, the feelings behind them, the feel of the roses. They don't sell just roses. And it's the same in barbecue. We're selling the passion. We're selling the smoke.
Experience.
We're selling the tailgates and the stuff in the backyard where we're the stories, you know, and some of them are true. You know, it's a great time.
Man, I will give you I will tell you, this weekend, three of the people that kind of stick out in my classes, there was two brothers and their dad. And they said, well, you know, dad just
That's
bought this meadow.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And that was the cool thing about the class. I mean, everybody there was kind of, hey, I wanted to bring my dad, or hey, my wife and daughter sent me here. You know, and so, mm-hmm. I mean, it was cool that all these people came and wanted to spend Father's Day with me. I was probably the only unfather in the room. and so it was kind of funny, but you know, you get to talking to the son and the dad, and it's like, you know, we've always barbecued and grilled, but you know, sometimes, you know, dad just got this Meadow Creek, and you know, no offense, but you know, sometimes his food hasn't been spot on. So we kind of figured he was going to be cooking a lot of it now that he's got this big smoker. So we figured the best thing we could do was get him some instruction.
It's like an insurance plan. Let's make sure it's going to be good. Just because he's cooking doesn't mean it's going to be good.
Yeah, Pops is going to want us to be his taste tester. So let's make sure what we got to taste is going to be something palatable. And so I thought that rationale there was pretty damn strong.
That is. That's great. And the memories and the things that they'll talk about and the experience they had, because I know you put on a fantastic class.
Well, dude, we tried to. I mean, we tried to have a really good time. I will tell you what, we were doing reverse sear on some skirt steak, and I had smoked it, or I had started on the, because I was cooking so much of it for the class and the brunch. I had about 35 pounds, so I split it. I kind of did the indirect method in my Southern Bread smokers at like 275, but then, man, I had that Weber Rancher kettle with about 12 pounds of lump charcoal spread throughout it. Dude, that thing would melt. That thing would melt faces, and I had to. I had to one minute each side sear, 35 pounds of skirt steak. Dude, I tell you what, man, I could have wrung my shirt out three times. And plus, it was 92 degrees out.
You were moving and a shaking, because that's a lot of fast moving on a big rancher kettle. That's some 8 inches instead of square inches.
Absolutely, no, that was really cool. So. One question I got for you real quick while we wait for Walt to dial in here. He should, I hope, any second. What have you noticed any differences this year out on the Sam's Club compared to last year?
You know, I'm seeing a little bit on the Sam's Club. I'm seeing teams that are coming in and some first-time winners. I actually think we had 4 or 5 straight weeks with first-time winners, first-time GCs, KC, and some of them were first-time KCBS teams that were competing. So we had some really strong, and I attribute it to just everybody getting involved and the attention to detail that people are paying on YouTube and on your shows that are preaching the word out there, and I think that is really a positive thing for us. It really depends on the 6 judges you get put in front of and how good a cook you have. You got to limit your mistakes and limit your room for errors or whatever. But Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's a real celebration as to the format. And I think you still, with the format being three cooks before you get a champion, you know, that you got to be a champion of champions. So it's still a strong format.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's one of the, it's got that whole March Madness feel to it. Or while we're talking about it, it's that College Baseball World Series, right? World Series.
Yeah, it is.
It looks like we got an SEC team in the driver's seat right now with old Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, we've had a few good teams in there taking chances at it. I was sad to see Vanderbilt not get knocked out, but when you've got pitching going on like it was over this past weekend, it's incredible. And for those that don't know, in Omaha, I've been there and experienced the tailgating and the atmosphere.
Oh, my gosh.
LSU fans go when LSU's not even in it. I mean, they just go to cook and do their thing, man. And
man,
it's fantastic. It's a lot like the barbecue scene.
I was just talking that this weekend to one of the attendees at class. Me and probably nobody knows unless any of my friends are listening. For probably 16 years straight, me and my dad went to the Florida State High School Baseball Championships every year. Regardless of where they were in the state, that was 1 week that I would, or it was 5 days, I'd shut down work, he'd take vacation, and that was our thing, man. We'd go there every year from the time I was a sophomore in high school till, probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And, man, we had a ball with it, and we always wanted to go out to the College World Series, so we went to Rosenblatt. We knew the last year before they shut down Old Rosenblatt, it would be a nightmare. So we went the year before. And dude, what a blast. And so I was, probably about the fourth day we were there, and we were there for every session, every game.
Wow.
I probably spent more money than I care to admit on tickets on eBay, but we always had damn good tickets to every game, every session. And about the fourth day in LSU, for you guys that don't understand, LSU will go about 25 parking spaces wide and about 10 parking spaces deep. And they just happened to be there that year. And all that is covered. Tented area, cookers, I mean, the whole nine yards. And so we would always...
And the Cajun smells coming out of there, it's just instant good eats, Whatever they're touching is tasty.
Oh, my gosh. And so we'd sit on the bench probably 50 yards away, just kind of waiting for the gates to open, and we'd go in and kind of mingle around. Well, about day four, guy comes over, LSU shirt on, LSU hat, says, "Hey, man, this is fourth day in a row seeing you guys sitting on this bench," because it was shaded, and we just get a cold drink and just sit there and talk. I mean, it's better than sitting in the hotel room, right? You're at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And we tell the guy our story, and that dude says, "Man, y'all come over here." He's like, y'all here for the whole series? Like, yeah, we're here for the whole series. He said, come over here and eat and get loved on, man. He goes, come meet all my friends. And I was like, now I need to remind you. So I was like, my dad's a Seminole, I'm a Gator. He's like, man, we don't see that here. He's like, you guys are here because you love baseball. So y'all are welcome in our camp all the rest of the series. And man, we went, and I'll tell you what, I must have tried to slide that guy, 100, 200 bucks throughout the week, and they wouldn't have none of it, man. They they just said, no, this is what we do. When we come somewhere, we put on a party, and we're just happy to have you here. And I just thought that was just awesome,
Like I've been saying over the past year, Chevy, baseball, and apple pie, but you got to add in barbecue. It's all got that same feel around it. People are still just American people. It's great. It's a pastime. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Chad, before I do go,
sure.
I need to make sure I'm going on the Midwest swing. So I'm heading up to Indianapolis and Traverse City, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin. For those that want to check me out on the Grillmaster Tour, it's grillmastertour.com. And I'm taking the words around for Heinz and for Bull Grills and also Beef It's What's for Dinner and Coca-Cola this year. So we've got all kinds of stuff, and then it's just one-on-one class time. We were talking about classes earlier. You can sit there for the full 4 hours and ask me questions while I'm cooking stuff up, and I'll show you everything about beef that I know and then some.
Well, dude, I may give you a holler once that class schedule's out, and I may come up I just want to check this thing out personally. From what you're building, man, it looks like a dang masterpiece up there, and I just want to come check out the classroom, man. It sounds like that's just pretty badass to start with, and spending 4 hours with you, there can't be nothing wrong with that, my friend.
Hey, that'd be a fantastic trip. You're welcome in my kitchen anytime.
I appreciate it. Hey, do me a favor in Indianapolis this weekend. Give that old Diva Q a big old hug for me, all right?
You know it, I will. And I'll also say hi to Peyton. Oh, wait, he's in Knoxville this week teaching the Vols how to have a quarterback. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm going to let you go to Walt, who's another Vol. But I do want to give a shout-out to, if you'd tell Scott that I said hi, he builds great rigs. I'm seeing him firsthand, so your listeners ought to give him a look.
No, I guarantee if you're going for a porch trailer, I got the walkthrough of his at Tampa, and I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. So we're going to have him hit on that when he gets on the show tonight, man. I appreciate you with about a 90 seconds notice being able to join me to get this thing kicked off, Mikey.
On the fly, Chad. Take care of you.
Hey, brother, you take care. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, Michael McDearman, grillmasterexperience.com. Hardest working man in barbecue, man. He's all over the place, always getting it done. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. And once again, you know, Michael's that kind of guy. I can hit him up at the last minute. I knew kind of my I could have went 20 minutes with you guys in the show open, but I saw he was in chat. We hadn't talked to him in a while. Always good to get the pulse of what's happening out there on the Sam's Club tour. On the Sam's Club tour. Leave it at that. Real quick before we go any further. Want to thank BBQSuperstore.com, TheBBQSuperstore.com, Rich and Mark. Got to love those guys. They are always keeping the newest products in there, always bringing in fresh new things for all of us barbecue and grillers out there. You can get anything you really want over there, barbecue products, Harry Sue, Head Country, Blues Hog, the Slabs, anything and everything, they have usually have it. If you stay tuned later tonight, there will be a $10 gift card being given away to TheBBQSuperstore.com. With that said, let me pull up Walt from Rocket Top BBQ. Walt, how's it going?
I'm doing good. You?
Good, man. And folks, we can honestly tell you this is the first time me and Walt have ever talked.
He has
probably gotten numerous Facebook messages from friends saying, Walt, what are you doing to your barbecue career going on this crazy guy's show? But we promise to be nice. Only the first time you come on, Walt. After that, we get a little hairy with you.
All right, that'll work.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you making the time. Appreciate you coming on board with us. We've got about 30 minutes to chit-chat. What I want to do, if you don't mind, to start with is usually first time folks are in the pit, we like to kind of understand where all this came from, kind of what you do as a day job, that type of thing. And then obviously we're going to get into the string of success you've had lately between this weekend and Tryon, and then what you did not too long ago there in the Sam's Club.
Oh, okay. Well, during the day, I'm a farmer. I turn cattle out, graze a lot of cattle, got some rental property. My wife, she's a school teacher. And we just kind of started in the backyard of my house probably 10 years ago just having parties. And it's just kind of escalated to this.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure when you were cooking the parties in the back, it wasn't on that beautiful, I believe you cooking on a Jambo?
Yeah.
I'm sure it didn't start that way, did it?
No, it started on a little $100 smoker from Home Depot. I think that's where it comes from. We drank a lot of beer and really didn't even know how good the food was.
All right. So the only thing you've already said some cool things: parties, beer. So I can tell we're going to get along. So let's get the one thing that we're not going to get along about off the table. And I got a feeling, you know, being Rocky Top Barbecue, being from Tennessee, you probably wear a lot of that orange, don't you?
My Jambo's orange, so
yeah.
Had a sprayed UT orange, so.
Well, you deserve all the barbecue success because the football team's really let you down the last decade.
They have. It's just gonna. it's been a disaster. I've just kind of lost interest, but I think we're on the right track with Bus Jones, and I'm anxious to see what he's got in store for us in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, at least y'all got rid of that Kiffin guy.
Yeah, Kiffin and Dooley, Lord of Mercy. Yes. That's just about the most on fire I ever seen. Just
that's about the way I felt when we had Zook.
Yeah. I'm like, what are they doing to hire him? And then we hired Kiffin and Dooley the same way, you know, just.
Yep. And the thing I couldn't understand about Zook and Dooley probably both is they came into programs replacing legends.
Yeah.
And that's the best you could do? Was Derek Dooley and Ron Zook? I mean,
probably Zook had more credit than Dooley, probably. I mean, Dooley just, I mean, I don't know. He's just, he's gone, so that's all I can say. He's gone.
Yeah, you
my
know,
wife gets mad every time somebody brings up UT football because I get all fired up and bent out of shape.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, I think, you know, but I would go back, you know, I loved the days of Fulmer and Spurrier. That was just, I mean, you can't spell citrus without UT and Fulmer banging on us. I mean, that was, I mean, but you know what? We were both competitive. We were always going to be in it there at the end. And hell, man, that kind of rivalry's fun. Rivalry is fun when we're both 7-5. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, well, you know, we both had another, you know, half-ass season.
Right.
So,
yeah. Maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe we can get back to that. I don't know. It's just, everyone's so competitive these days, you know. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
I know.
Well,
especially in the SEC, because, I mean, it's one of those things we, you know, we sit there and you know how it is. I mean, you know, you look at the schedule and depending on where you got your bye week at, usually we play each other week 2 or week 3 on each of our respective schedules. And you're like, well, shit, man, you know, you really can't lose that one because if you lose that one, but then you never know. I mean, you may beat Tennessee or you guys may beat us. And your next thing you know, you roll into Ole Miss and Dan Mullins beat you by 2 touchdowns on a week you really didn't expect it, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, anybody in the SEC, you know, outside of Kentucky and, well, Vanderbilt was pretty tough last year. I mean, anybody can beat anybody. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Outside of us last 2 years, we was the laughing stock of the SEC. But,
well, anyway, me and you had a little tangent there, but I'm glad we did. I always love talking college football, and I don't know about you, Walt, but it can't get here soon enough for me.
I'm ready for it.
I've seen about somebody just in chat said SEC call-in show. Yeah, we got Paul Feinbaum coming on here in the 8 o'clock hour. But no, I mean, I've seen about enough Stanley Cup and all that stuff I can take. So
I
sure am ready. At least for the boys to get back in school and us at least to start talking about practice and who's doing what and who looks like what. So anyway,
about 73 or 74 days, I believe, till.
Yeah, it ain't too far away from us.
No.
That's always the saddest day of my years, that day after the daggum BCS championship.
Yeah.
It's kind of shit, you know? Anyway, so we were talking about parties and barbecues. So you get started kind of entertaining, which I love because it's kind of the same way we got started was, you know, back in college, me and a couple buddies I lived with, we always, you know, entertained and loved to barbecue and loved to have a good time, and then we graduated college, and guess what? Well, we had to get real jobs.
Right.
and those real jobs required us to travel a whole bunch, and so that's how we sprung up on Competition Barbecue was we said, hey, let's pick 4 or 6 a year where we can really just go and still just hang out as buddies and have a good time. At what point did you say, hey, you know, all my friends are patting me on the back, telling me my barbecue is better than anything else that they're having. You know, what made you say, let's go give this a shot at a competition?
Well, I'd always kind of want to do it, and there was a contest come about 2 or 3 miles from where I live in Gray, Tennessee, and I said, shoot, I just built this new smoker, you know, and I thought, well, you know, let's go up there and show them how it's done. Well, needless to say, I didn't have a clue of what was going on. We rolled in there, and it hadn't been for Jackie Price, Smoke on This. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's from
Knoxville.
And Howard Wooten from Taste of Carolina, he took the side of me. And if it hadn't been for them two people, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at now because they just took me under a wing and said, you know, come over here. We want to help you out a little bit. Because to be honest with you, I ain't never told anybody this probably, but for chicken injury, I had whole chickens I was going to cook.
So I
didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Buddy, I'll tell you what, right now, our first contest, that's what we did. We cooked three whole chickens.
Yeah.
And I sat there. Now, this was in an FBA contest, so there's no parsley. You got to fill this box up with damn chicken meat.
Yeah.
So I'm picking chickens. I'm cutting breast meat off of chickens. I'm half-ass, you know, hacking up a thigh to put in there.
Right.
And it was I wish I had a picture of that box because it was by far the worst damn thing you have ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
So it's funny you said that was my plan first contest, whole chickens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't. We had no clue, you know, so we actually cooked it. And, I mean, of course, at the time where we were still kind of partying pretty hard and had a bunch of buddies. And, then, you know, we always interested in was partying and the cooking was the last thing, you know. And it's right here in my hometown, of course. There was tons of people up there. So we got through that cook, and we went on and cooked in Gaffney, South Carolina that year and kept a party. And then we went to Nashville and really kept partying. Jackie Price said he's the only man I ever seen he can drink that much beer and liquor and still be able to cook halfway. But
I'm going to tell you what, there is a lot of, you know, it's funny to hear this, and for any of my FBA friends that are there in chat, Walt, we came from very similar beginnings. I would say at the time that we broke in 07, 08, we were probably the only team bringing at least one keg with us to every contest.
Yeah, I mean.
So we definitely had that party boy mentality, I can promise you that.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we want to have a good time, so then we could. About four contests, I think, that year. I think it was in 2010, I believe that's when we started, or 09.
Okay.
So then, you know, the next year, I upgraded and I bought me a Lange.
Okay, yep.
Got me a Lange and got me a new woman. And, you know, I said, well, we might be a little more serious. So the first cook we went out, and boom, we had a pretty good cook. And so I got rid of all them other people, you know, and kind of got a little more serious about it and started doing good. And then last year, you know, we really kind of got serious. And I bought me a Jambo. And then I married the woman that I started out with. And she didn't know what she's going to be getting into, but she I couldn't do it without her. But I think she thought this little weekend barbecue in here and there wasn't going to turn into this. So, but she's all right with it, but got rid of all the buddies and all the beer drinking and all that. So, I mean, we still like to have a good time on Thursday nights, but we're pretty serious. Roll around Friday and Friday night, we're pretty serious.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. And on that Jambo, I take it you're probably like the rest of the guys. You one of those that likes to fire up about 2 o'clock in the morning and run about 2:75?
Yeah, I'll fire at 2 o'clock, put on at 3, and I usually try to go to bed by 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
On Friday night and get me 4 or 5 hours sleep. And that doing without no sleep, I've done that too many times.
I usually high-five you guys. Y'all are getting up and I'm going to bed because I'll usually stay up. And even though, man, I got a controlled draft system cooker and this and that, I mean, there's just something about, for me, you know, traveling all week and this and that for work, I kind of like the quiet of a barbecue contest from midnight to 2.
Right.
You know, I kind of like the, you know, one or two beers and just kind of looking at your cooker and, you know, I look at it and it's still the same damn number, 235 degrees.
Right.
But, it's still just very calm, you know, and a nice night. But usually, yeah, it, you know, whoever's cooking on Jambos, whether it be, you know, Tuffy or any of those guys, about 2 a.m.,
yeah.
I'll give them, all right, you boys, you know, Mike Richter, hey, all right, you boys got the night shift. I'm going to go get me 4 hours and get up and start messing with ribs. And so it's pretty cool. I got a question in chat since you've, what'd you have? Do you have a Lange 60 or 48?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I had an 84.
Oh, so you had the big dog.
I had an 84, yeah.
Still so you had 80. You was all right. So the eight, comparing the 84 to the Jambo, and you've got the nice one, the J5, right? From what I can tell in the picture.
J3.
Okay. So you've got a J3. You've got a Lang 84. What would you say? You know, if you had to compare them, a couple of the differences.
Well, probably the efficiency. I mean, you know, the Lang is just going to eat wood. You know. And,
yep.
And the Lang cooks good, and I mean, it makes good barbecue. But I mean, really, for competition, I think you got the insulated firebox. You can control your fire so much better. You know, it's just so much more consistent cook, I think. You know, and I ain't going to take nothing away from Lang. I mean, they're a good smoker, but as far as doing what I'm doing, you know, when I got the Jambo, my scores and my whole game just took off. And Tuffy is always aggravating me, saying, you need to buy a Jambo and pay for itself. Well, that's how I try to convince my wife that, you know, we need to get a Jambo, it'll pay for itself. So I think she finally realized that this past weekend, that it really is a pain for itself.
Well, yeah, I'm sure for a little bit that was kind of like pushing a rope uphill, right?
Yeah. she finally just gave up and said, just, you're going to buy it anyway, so just go ahead and buy it, you know.
Just damn go do it. That's coming out of your money,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
That's out of your play fund.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah.
So when we got it, we started getting some calls, you know, and you know, we had a pretty good year. And, of course, I turned my ribs around last year and got to hitting in the ribs pretty good. And was actually tied for third in the Smithfield Rib Series and got knocked out of it in Cummins there. We tied, and Bob, he had one more win than I did, so it went to him. So
I'm looking back here over your 2012 listings, and I mean at Hog Happening, you're third in ribs. At Cummins, you're fourth in ribs.
And
Cummins, I mean, Cummins is a big contest, a tough contest. Second in ribs last year at Papa Joe's. So I mean, you know, I mean, obviously some good calls and some damn good crowds. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, it seems like the better the competition, the bigger the crowd, the better I can perform. I mean,
well,
I don't know. You know, sometimes you get a little 30-thing contest, you know, a few pretty good teams hiring in, you know, just...
You get complacent.
Yeah, just your average people that don't do this for a living, you know, just come out and cook for 2 or 3 a year. It seems like I just struggle on that.
But because, I mean, to me, you get a little bit complacent. The other thing, which I don't think you've came across that yet, was, I mean, we had a year... after our first really good year, we decided we're gonna go out and we're gonna cook a shitload of contests, and we cooked 23 or 24, and I'll never do it again, man. I was sitting there, there were Thursday nights I was loading out that I was like dreading having to load out the next weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Shit, man.
You're telling me we're about to do this 3 out of the next 4 weekends? You know, so at that point I kind of said, all right, look, man, maybe we're more of a 15-ish to 20-ish a year team, but definitely not a 20-plus team. You know, so when I look at guys like Bubba, you know, that has went out there numerous years in a row and cooked 30-plus, I mean, it's like, shit, man, you got to take your hat off of those guys.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we did 4 back-to-back in May, and, you know, that was getting... You know, 4 back to back every weekend. But I can imagine doing it. You know, I think after a while, like you said, you know, you just get the dread and just, you know, so. But 4 back to back ain't bad. You kind of get in a rhythm and you know. So
a couple of things. One, you know, I was looking at last year's. Last year, it looks like you cooked, according to barbecuerace.com here, looks like you cooked 5 contests last year. You've already got 5 under your belt this year.
We cooked 10 or 11 last year. 10, I think. That barbecue race, it ain't too accurate on my stuff.
Oh, shit. Maybe I need to quit using that.
We cooked, I think it was 10.
I'm pull up something a little more trusty.
Myrtle Beach ain't on there. I looked a while back. Myrtle Beach ain't on there. I done I done trialing last year to Franklin.
Well, scratch that. All right. We'll get off of that. But the two contests I really wanted to hit on is, I mean, obviously, you won Sam's Club this year.
Right.
You know, you're local, which, I mean, that had to be good momentum coming into Tryon.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to Kings Mountain first year, and it had a pretty decent cook, you know. Not bad coming out first year. And then, so they had another first-year contest in Knoxville, like the 1st of May, and I thought, well, we'll go down there. You know, it was one of them 30-team contests where I thought, well, we might go down here and do pretty good. Well, we got our asses handed to us. I mean, it was just a disaster. And I was by the time the next weekend rolled around with Sam's Club, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm so discouraged. I don't even know if I'm going to go. You know, it's just, I just got beat so bad, you know. All these big expectations, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
Everything went wrong with that cook. Just everything went wrong. And then that next following week, everything went wrong here. So I said, I don't even know if I'm going to cook it. Well, I ended up going, and then we went a grand. So we kind of picked up some steam, I guess.
And it was, you know, when I was looking at it, you know, a grand's a grand. It was really, it was kind of a weird, because usually those Sam's Clubs, you've got to have four top 10 calls to have a shot at it. But you had two big calls and still won.
Yeah. Well, I was standing there, and Pappy Q had three top tens. And I said, well, there's your winner. You know, I had two, had a second and fourth, and Pappy Q had three top tens. And I said the best I might have would be reserved. Well, they call reserved as uncultured swine. Well, I looked at my wife. I said, psh, we've missed it again. I'm getting ready to turn and walk away and go back to the bus. They call Rocky Top. I'm like, holy shit. You know? And it's what happened. Pappy Q bombed a brisket. He was like 28 or something in brisket or something. Or, you know, he had three good calls and then he just bombed something.
Yep, the one miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you always worry about. You always hope it's 11th, but you got to realize it may not be, Bubba.
Yeah, and I know, and I happen to have two 12s. I had a 12 chicken and 12 brisket, so I mean, that's what it takes to be consistent.
But I'm going to tell you what you did this weekend, there couldn't have been a doubt in your damn mind. When they called third place brisket, you knew it was
brisket, I mean, everybody knew I'd had it. I mean, it was just, it was locked up.
So let's talk a little bit about this weekend's cook. I've had at least three people tell me I've got to ask you about chicken.
I guess what they're talking about right before turning, well, say 11:40, somewhere around there, and you were trying, there's a lot of crowd, there are a lot of people. So here I am getting ready to sauce my chicken and do what I need to do, get ready, and I look up and there's five people underneath my canopy around my smoker, and I can't do nothing. And they're just talking and just, you know what I'm saying? I try not to be rude, but, I mean, it was just you couldn't control it, you know. It was just people everywhere. And so finally a wild bunch was beside of us, and they kind of roped her off a little bit of caution tape. Well, that didn't work. So a guy came over and said, I'm going to go get the law. So he comes back with two policemen, and they take caution tape and surround my whole cooking area to keep the people out. So
no,
they was all irate and said, oh, let's be Johnny Trick here, you know. They was all irate about it. After turn-ins, I was taking that down. They said, oh, I guess he can talk now. He's taking his barricade down. I said, shit, y'all don't understand. Y'all are back here along the creek, back here in the people is just swamping you.
Well, yeah, so, and I mean, and let's not act. I mean, there's $22,000 up for grabs in that prize pool.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't come there to socialize. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but them public, they don't, you know, they don't know no better. You know, I said, shit, I got to do something. I could, and I was about to get flustered, you know, and I get all bent out of shape. And of course, everything worked out. You know, we got the people out and got the chicken done. And, it's just, It's funny, they've all irritated me. I mean, of course, we was right on the front row of all the walkway, you know, and we catch all the traffic. I mean,
well, that's what happens when you have them pretty pits like that. They go put you up there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, what a huge win! I mean, 16 points overall. That is epic. I mean, that's a big number.
Yeah, I mean, to do that in the cookers that was there. I mean, to do that and score that. I mean, it's just when on the way down there on Thursday, I tell my wife, I said, you know, if we can finish in the top 20, top 15 out of this field and get maybe a call. You know, I consider it a pretty good day. But,
yeah, so we talk. Let's kind of walk through the categories if you don't mind, Walt. Yeah, we get over there to chicken, and so anything crazy? I mean, you turn in thighs, or are you prepping
just
the hell
thighs,
out of them?
Just thighs.
Are you one of those guys that preps the hell out of them with a bunch of?
No. Actually, okay. I tell you what. Actually, this I used to do all that stuff and just scrape the skin, just do all this crazy stuff, you know, and I got away from that this year. And to be honest with you, on Friday I prepped my chicken, and I bet I prepped it in 20 minutes. Or less. I mean, I just my wife said, that's the fastest you've ever prepped chicken. I said, well, you know, taking all this time and doing all this stuff, I said, I just knocked it out. Because I hate chicken. I hate it. But,
yeah.
You know, I just went in there and knocked it out in 20 minutes. We was done with chicken. I said, well. And I don't know, it must have worked. Sometimes I believe, sometimes at least you don't take all that detail. Sometimes you're better off, you know. You overthink it.
Well, I think also, I mean, there's where you can take it way too far and it starts looking a little too artish and not like chicken.
Right.
Then I got to say, last contest that we cooked, we ended up winning chicken. And same deal. It was kind of like, you know, we went in there. We did a little bit of trimming. We're big fans of pulling the vein in the back by the bone. But my cook, my cook member Jared, man, he's got that down to the science. So he'll pull the vein, hand it to me. I square it up, and we run it. You know, but to me, it still keeps a little bit of that natural look. And I think the one thing people don't think about when you start scraping that skin all the way down. That's a lot of flavor. I mean, fat is flavor.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of moisture away. I mean, I've done it before, and I think it leaves have a tendency your chicken be a little drier, and you risk the risk of your skin of drawing up. And I think if you just leave it and let that fat render in there, and I think it just holds the moisture in the chicken.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, if you go out there and you just make a couple of trial cooks. You can find ways to render that fat out to get bite-through skin. It's not rocket science.
No, I mean, my skin, it's bite-through every time. I mean, and that's, you know, that scraping deal, I mean, that's just extra work, and it don't even, you know, I think you do more damage than you do good.
So you get a first-place chicken there. This is a pretty big this is a pretty big payout contest. What first-place chicken goes, $600-$700?
$1,000.
All right, so now... I mean, now is there a point where you kind of walk back from that? You go, well, shit, I'm kind of on a free roll here. You know, whatever happens, happens, right? I mean, was that the feeling
at
all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, got that first place. And I wasn't really satisfied with my chicken. It was pretty good, but I thought I might need just a little bit more sauce. But I mean, I don't really sauce it real heavy, but I told my wife, I said, right before they called me, I said, I thought my chicken was good, but I believe it needed a little more sauce. And then first place, Rocky Tops. So, you know, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So we're sitting there for ribs. And I knew I had a good set of ribs. I mean, my ribs were probably the best I've cooked all year. And my wife, she's not really a big rib eater, but she ate a whole rib. And when she eats a whole rib, you can
that's a good deal.
Pretty much guarantee that they're good and they're going to do something. So, and we got a first place rib call. And I thought, holy shit.
So let's talk about them ribs for a second. You a St. Louis guy? You a back rib guy?
Yes, St. Louis.
St. Louis. Foil, or are you running straight the whole time?
Well, no, I'm foiling.
Anything? I mean, would you? And I'm not going to ask you to give it up here on there yet. But I mean, do you think there's anything crazy you're doing? I mean, inside the foil?
No, it's just it's just basically everything's just pretty simple. I mean, I think ribs, the way I cook them, is part of the simplest, it's one of the simplest meat I cook, you know. It's just, it's 4 hours, and, you know, I don't never check them. I just know at 4 hours, when I pull them at 12, I know they're going to be done. I mean, it's just a, it's a time thing.
You know who you're starting to remind me of, two categories in already? You're starting to remind me of Barry from Swiggin' Pig. Because I've talked to Barry a couple times on the show, and I've talked to Barry numerous times personally, and Barry said, man, he said, Chad, I ain't the smartest Southern boy. I got to keep it simpler. I can't remember it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you what, there ain't many more successful cook down here in the Southeast than Barry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's legit.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and for the guys listen, you know, I can't say this enough because I've went through this myself. I mean, where you went from, you know, being simple to saying, oh, I want to raise my game up. So you add a bunch of steps, you add a bunch of flavors. You may get a little bit of success here, a little bit of success there. But, you know, to me, you know, we're kind of back at the point where it's like, man, it's a lot simpler than we used to be. But the thing is, you just got to execute. When you've only got three or four actions you have to take, you just got to make sure you take them at the right time and execute them perfectly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you're going to miss. So
I think, you know, a lot of this is, you know, a lot of people's flavor profile is the same, you know, and I think it comes down to running your pit and pulling your meat when you need to, and you know, just the little things can go a long ways.
Absolutely. So you hear that first in ribs, and before we move on to the next two categories, you know you got a first in chicken. You know you got a first in ribs.
Well,
there's 97 damn teams.
Yeah. Well,
I mean
know,
you're the front
runner. I was feeling pretty good, but you know, my pork and brisket has kind of killed me all year. My pork killed me last year, and I kind of turned around a little bit. I turned it around at the Sam's Club. I've got it turned around in the right direction, and my brisket this year has just been—it's killed me. So I roll out and cook a new recipe over there, and when I taste my brisket, I mean, it was good. But every brisket I cooked this year, I thought was good. But so I told my wife, I said, you know, I said our pork and brisket has killed us for the last 2 years, you know, and so when I heard a 12th place pork, I said, well, you know, now it leaves me brisket. And then I was so scared that you know, that was what was going to kill me.
Well, but, on the pork, you cooking just regular old, like, IVP or Smithfield, or
I'm
you mess with
just the regular IVP pork, but, I mean, I'm trying a lot of different stuff, and to tell you the truth, the IVP this year, they've been doing good. I mean,
and anything crazy? You kind of wrapping when you like the color, 165 or so?
Yeah, about 160, 165. And you know, actually, I mean, my pork best got about overcooked, and I thought this week, the last two or three times I've done good in pork, I the main muscle's been up over 200 degrees, you know. But seems like, you know, like at Sam's Club, I said I've overcooked my pork. It ain't no way it's going to work. And
really?
Of course,
yeah.
Of course, I got it sliced up. I mean, everything worked. You know, it worked good. So,
well, you know, a lot of times when you have something like that happen too, let's say you're a little overcooked on it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you never know. You may be that sixth box they evaluate at the table. And that can help you out. That can give you a little bit more time to set up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's those little details folks don't think about that can sometimes be just the good Lord saying it's your day, you know?
Right, yeah, I know. That's what I said. I said it was my day, you know. You know, everybody has their day, and I just, Saturday was mine.
Well, let's move on to brisket. So, you cooking Wagyu, prime?
I'm just cooking a prime.
Okay. Anybody in particular? You got a local source? You using Creek Stone? What are you doing?
I'm cooking Creek Stones.
Creek Stones? Tell you what, a lot of yeah. people having success with those, man. A lot of people.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, I like them. I mean, I switched to them this year, and you know, it's kind of been a rough road till now, you know, with my brisket, and I've done a few things different at contests and changed the recipe a little bit, and I think it's going to work out.
Are you injected on Butts and Brisket?
Yes.
Okay, your own injection, or are you using some of the off-the-shelf stuff, whether it be a Cosmo?
I'm using some of the off-the-shelf stuff, and then I might put a little twist to it, you know. I might have a little stuff to it.
Nothing wrong with that. Got to make it your own.
Right.
So you felt good about the brisket after you sliced it and tasted it before you got it in the box?
Yeah, I sliced it. And I thought, it seemed like it was good. It had a good flavor. And of course, I didn't know, because this whole year my brisket's just been left field. And when I tasted it, I said, that is good. I mean, that's a pretty good brisket. But, I've done that 5 or 6 times this year, and it hadn't hit, so... it's just my day. I got on some good tail, I guess. I mean,
so that had to feel good, man. When you hear that third place brisket, it's all said and done.
When that was a third place brisket, I knew. I mean, everybody knew it was wrapped up, and I had no idea that my score had been that high. And I was looking on my score sheet. I was in chicken ribs and brisket, I almost had 3 180s.
Damn.
If one judge on chicken would have given me a 9, and one judge on ribs would give me a 9, and one judge on brisket would give me a 9, I'd have 3 180s.
Wow. But
yeah,
you still made the 700 club, 704.
Yeah, 704, yeah. So, it was... it's a big win. I mean, to do that in that field of competition there, I mean, there's probably 30, 35 teams that could have won the thing.
Oh, easily. I mean, if you
yeah,
look at that.
In our, yeah.
Yeah. You look at that team list, I mean, there's some souls to SWAT up in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a good day.
Well, dude, congratulations to you, man. It's quite the win, and you got a lot of momentum moving forward, especially with what you did at Sam's Club and now here.
Right.
What's the rest of the year look like for you?
Well, it looks like we're going to go to there's a little contest right up here about 20, 25 miles from me, a first-year contest at Unicoi, Tennessee. We're going to go do that, and then I guess we'll do Maggie Valley. Franklin, North Carolina, and let's see, where are we going after that?
Where's your Sam's Regional at?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
No, that ain't too bad then.
No, that's, I'll be there in probably 3.5 hours. Ain't bad. Then I guess we'll go to Salisbury, North Carolina, do that one, and probably Shelby and Cummins, probably. Since I won the Smithfield Rib this week, so I think me and Mark Green are, I think he's 40 and I'm 35, so I guess I'm trying to go catch it again this year.
Nothing wrong with that, man. That's
right.
Awesome, Walt. You've had a great start. It sounds like you got a great end of the year planned. Before we wrap up and go over to Scott, any sponsors or anything you want to finish out with the listeners on?
No, I mean, I ain't got no sponsors. I just, that's the hard thing to pick up. And I'm not a guy to go out here and bullshit with people. I know some people that can go out here and they're real salesmen. I'm just kind of, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Well, awesome, man. I hope to get up there in your neck of the woods towards the end of this year.
Right.
Love to shake your hand and cook against you. And I wish you all the best of luck. I appreciate you being able to make time for the show tonight. Great interview, and definitely won't be the last time I call on you if you'd love to come back on.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir, Walt. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.
Yes, sir. All right, there we go. Rocky Top, BBQ, huge win and try on this weekend. 97 teams, first, 12th, and third. Pretty damn amazing cook, 704 overall. As you heard him say, he needed just 1 9. in those top three categories to be 180 on all three, which would have been probably a spectacular thing that you wouldn't see for quite a while. So congratulations to Walt. Real quick before we go over to Scott Smith here, Q and Stewing and Brewing, want to thank Cosmos Q. CosmosQ.com. My buddy Darian over there, he's always picking it up and putting it down, whether it be rubs, injections, brines, competition, cooking class, DVDs, which I think he has on sale right now if you go over to his Facebook page. Great guy. Great products. We've cooked on them since inception, and they've never let us down. So if you're looking for that little bit extra moisture, regardless of the four categories, if it's chicken, you want to look for that chicken soak. If it's ribs, you want to look for that pork soak. And then on butts, it's the pork injection. And on beef, it's the reserve beef injection. They're all four great products. Rub-wise, love the Killer Bee, love the Killer Pea, Chipotle. Cow Cover is also another one that's probably the most misnamed product on the market, because Cow Cover is damn good on chicken. So when you get a chance, check it out, Cosmos, the letter Q.com. With that being said, let's pull up Scott here. Scott, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. How you doing?
Dude, good to talk to you, man. It's been a while. I don't think I've talked to you since we were neighbors over there in Sam's Club, Tampa.
That was about it. I haven't, y'all don't make it up my neck of the woods very often. That was, but how you been?
They've been doing well. I mean, obviously not as good as you, man. You've kind of been on fire this little 2013 season.
I've had a couple of good weeks. We've hung in there. I did wind up qualifying for Sam's the next week out of Daphne. That Tampa one was kind of a bonus when they let us do two. But we've had a couple past few weeks.
It was great. What made you go up to Indiana this weekend? Anything in particular?
Yes, the organizer answered the phone. I left U-Harley the week before, and I was pretty put out with the scores and what I'd received there. And Tuesday morning, I decided I'd cook, so I called Tryon, left a message. I called Hernando, Mississippi, left a message, and I called Indiana, and the guy answered the phone, which happened to be the middle drive. I mean, it was 4.5 for me to go to Tryon, and it was like 7 for me to go to Hernando, and it was 5:45 to go to Jeffersonville, and I chose to go to Jeffersonville because he answered the phone and said, yep, come on. So that's where I went.
So one of those where, you know, it's funny because that's some people that are maybe new to the game or don't know is that there's two things that get you to cook unscheduled events. One is you get hot. The other one is you just get real pissed off at your scores the weekend before. And you want to get that bad taste out of your mouth. Yep.
That was it.
Hey, it happens, brother. It happens. So your first time on the show, so we're going to dial back a little bit, and then we'll come back to talking about this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about what got you into this whole thing. I mean, have you barbecued and grilled your whole life? You know, what made you come into this crazy hobby of ours, competition barbecue?
I started cooking professionally in 2009, and I don't know, I was backyarding it before, not in contest. I cooked one backyard in my entire, I reserved a backyard contest for the first time that I cooked one in Kennesaw, Georgia, in my hometown, and I went pro immediately after that, and just started cooking regular, but I've always been an outdoor grill and smoke guy, so just kind of in me.
Excellent. So 2009. So I will tell you the one thing I learned about you cooking next to you at Tampa, and it's amazing to watch. I mean, you're a hot and fast guy now. Did you start out as a hot and fast cook in 09?
I did.
Man, the amount of steam that you generate out of your cookers. I mean, you cook on some really, really large cookers on the back of that trailer. We're going to talk about the cookers. We're going to talk about the trailer. I promise. But man, I mean, it was to me. I mean, and I've cooked next to Myron. And I've seen the amount of steam he generates and this and that. But I mean, when I was talking to you, I mean, you're like, you know, hey, we'll run it as hot and fast as we need to. And I believe that when I was just watching those stats, and I'm like, man, he is really – I mean, that has to be – I would have loved – you know, it wouldn't have been a competition. I'd have loved just to went over there and open the door and saw the amount of evaporation you had going on in that cook chamber. It was unreal.
That's the way – that cooker that I cooked on, we designed, and that's the way it was meant to be, and it has done everything that I've ever wanted it to do flawlessly. And when I set out to design that cooker, I hit it just about a home run the first time. I made very few changes over the last 4 years in that model, and it's a big part of my game is the high heat and achieving at the end of the day what needs to be done. I mean, that's, and the cooker is a big part of that.
You know, so where did it come from wanting to cook hot and fast? Did you always cook hot and fast in the backyard, or were you just trying to maximize your time or minimize your time you had to deal with things?
Minimize time. I mean, it was I believe it was a family reunion, and we were up the night before, and everybody got to drinking and slept a little late, and we didn't have time to do what we needed for the get-together that was going to take place, so we made it happen hot and fast, and I just kind of discovered it.
So kind of one of those oh shit moments that turned into maybe onto something here.
Exactly.
Excellent, man. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So you get started in 09. Was it one of those things that just, you know, you wanted to go out and see where you stacked up against other guys? Was it you had buddies in it? You know, what was it that kind of said, you know, competition barbecue is a pretty cool thing?
I went to a couple of the competitions in Kennesaw. They've had one there for about 10 years. And I just decided one year I wanted to go and see how it stacked up against everybody. And the first year I cooked it was, like I said, a backyard. And after that, I think I cooked it once professionally. And then I skipped a couple of years and came to Florida to Amelia Island and came back to Kennesaw last year, actually, even though I lived there. But I did skip a couple of years of it. But it was just wanting to put food out there and see how it stacked up.
Now, let me ask you, be honest, engine here, because this is what happened to us. Did you go to the contest and you bought some vending food and you tasted it and said, my shit's better?
I did.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. We were born and raised here in Lakeland, and Pigfest has been around 15 years, and that's kind of exactly what we thought was. You know, we went around. Knowing what we know now, we know that 80% of the vending teams are in the bottom 20% of the score sheets. Don't get me wrong. There's still some vending teams that do really, really well, but for the most part, vending teams don't, you know, knock it out of the park. Guys that vend every weekend. You know, there's guys that vend choice contests that kill it. But, you know, at the same time, you don't know that when you're just getting started. You may go, you know, buy product from that team that's, you know, the cereal vending team that you don't know that that's their deal. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's, I mean, you're right. One thing with vendors, I think sometimes they're there competing just to see how it stacks up. But one thing about vending, you get paid every week.
Sure, that is exactly true. It don't matter what the hell the judges think. You're going to walk away with 80% of your teal every damn weekend.
Exactly.
So, all right,
I
so
think
you go to that.
They're in it.
Go ahead.
I think they're in it for, you know, that's part of their show for their vending. And, I mean, a lot of those vendors don't really care how they do in the competition, but it looks good that they're at least there.
Sure. Well, it lends... You know, once again, I'll probably get emails about this, but it lends a little bit to that carnival atmosphere. You know, when you do have guys there selling food, you know, with friggin' two stories worth of banners flying from the top of their rig. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. I've seen the banners two and three stories. Yes. That is, I'd hate to know I had to set all that up and break it down at the end of the day.
Now let me ask you this. I mean, does that come? I mean, is that an option on one of your trailers you build? Can I get the two story poster or banner rack?
Yeah, I think I have some PVC pipe out back that I could probably elbow together. Send you on your way. Yes, that is definitely an option. There's leftover stuff from when they built the building. There's some leftover PVC back there, and I can come up with some elbows. Yeah, we'll definitely make you a two-story banner.
We'll throw that in there. We'll throw that in there. All right, guys, talking to Scott Smith, Q and Stewart and Bruin, one grand championship this weekend out there in Indiana. Kind of just catching up on, you know, where he's at and what got him into competition barbecue. So on the hot and fast side, you know, you said you've had this cooker and you made a couple small tweaks to it. Does this thing, I take it has to. You've obviously got an automatic water intake to it, right, Scott?
I do not.
Really?
I have built some of the automatic water. No, I use I've got an elbow that we use for a sight glass, and I actually just keep my eye on them.
So how much water will that cooker hold?
13 gallons. I put in it on Friday night, and then we add all during the cook from about 5 a.m. until brisket turn in. I mean, we'll add the water as needed. Normally, there's nothing added really after about 12:30 because as it starts coming down, I don't have anything on there that's not panned or wrapped anyway. So I'll run through 30 gallons in a cook from 5 to 1.
Wow. And running anywhere from what, 350 to 400, or am I high there?
No. You're about 350 to 4.25.
Okay. I thought when we talked you would put that 4.25 number out there, and I was like, "By God!" But yeah, I didn't want to say that. I wanted you to correct me, so you obviously did. I guess I'm just amazed by it because I've never really tried it because I've never really owned a cooker that's set up for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things, if you go on a cooker that's built to run low and slow and you try to cook hot and fast, you're probably going to get pretty shitty results. But if you buy a cooker that's built for that, you know, one like you build or, you know, one like Myron builds or whoever, you know, is in that business, then it's probably going to turn out some pretty damn good stuff.
Yes, they do. They're built for that. I've built some cookers in the past for Myron and, I took Myron's school after, I think, in maybe around 2009 or 2010. I actually went through his school and got brushed up on it. And I think it was a great thing. And there's a lot of water cookers out there. But as far as the really hot and fast ones, the ones Myron have and the one at Southern Q that we have, they're probably top notch as far as the hot and fast water cookers.
So before we get into the contest, let's talk a little bit about that because it's a good natural progression. So you got Southern Q and I can't remember, what do you call your trailer business? Is it Southern Q also, or do you have another name under it?
No, it's under, QS. It's under my license through the state of Georgia and, all my tax and corporation stuff is through Q and Stewart and Bruin. And we call it QSB trailers just for short. And, most of the stuff you see will just say QSB trailers. And then Southern Q is a, basically, it's Q and Stewart and Bruin, DBA, Southern Q. Southern Q is just a branch of us.
So, you know, I will say, guys, and Scott, I don't want you to comment on this unless you want to, but, you know, Scott was nice enough. I've got, I'm actually in the market for maybe a little bit more of a toy hauler, but my partner on the Southern Bread Smoker side, Adam, he's really looking for a porch model. And so Adam said, hey, if you see any, you know, that really catch your eye, you know, take a look for me and this and that. And so, when we were at Tampa Sam's Club, I ran into Scott, and, you know, he could see us kind of admiring it from a distance. And, you know, I asked him, hey, you mind if I take a look? And I've looked at a lot of porch trailers built by a lot of people. And I got to say, man, there's not a lot of – I mean, there's not anything I could pick up on from a design or a quality point of view you didn't have covered. You know, and to me, you know, I think for the quality of materials that you use in the design – some of the prices that we talked about were really, really competitive. You know, I mean, have you seen a good uptick in your trailer business?
We have. Trailers are actually really taking off, and I'm averaging 1 to 2 a week right now that's going out to barbecuers. We've got a model that, you know, barbecuers use that aren't going to do any vending. You'll get a, you know, 20, 22-foot porch trailer, and that's That's enclosed, HVAC, all the wires, lighting, and everything. We got a model like that that's between, you know, about 7,600 and 8,500, pending they do awnings and what have you. And then our vending models start around 14.5 and go sky's the limit, according to what kind of hoods and equipment they put in them. But most, like the one I had at Sam's there, that's about a 15.5 trailer, and it's very competitive. They're a great trailer. They're 5-year warranty on everything. It's just been a market that's taken off drastically in the last 3 years, and it's done well for me.
But let's talk about this. And first off, for you guys to know, QSB Trailers is not a sponsor of mine. But when you just threw that number out there for a competition model, I don't want any windows in it. I just want, you know, whatever it is, you know, let's say it's a 20-foot model, you know, so a 6-foot porch on the back and a 14-foot box, and I've got a couple counters in there. I've got air conditioning, and you're telling me I can get in that for the high side of $8,500?
Yes, sir.
Shit, I may not be in the toy hauler business. I may not be in the toy hauler market anymore. I may be in the QSB trailer market. That's a heck of a deal, man.
Well, that's, I mean, there's several teams that's bought them. They go in, put their own bunk beds in them or their own sinks, refrigerators, whatever they do. And
sure,
a lot of the guys that stay on site, they do their own thing to them. And that's a popular model for us. I mean, I don't sell as many of those as I do vending trailers, but you would be surprised at the teams that have bought those trailers from me and actually love them. And it's amazing at what some of the average cooks can turn those trailers into. I've been back to some of them that, hey, I could live in this one, you know.
They do
amazing things in that little bit of space.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Well, dude, I mean, so you're talking about, we got the IKEA barbecue trailers, man. You get guys in there that'll make a little 100-square-foot apartment out of that thing.
That's it. That's exactly what a lot of them have done. I mean, I've seen everything from TVs, satellites, to carpet, to showers and bathrooms and everything else. I mean, they take these things to the next level. And a lot of our guys, a lot of my business in the fall comes from these hunting club guys. They actually take those, haul their four-wheeler on the back of them because we put a ramp on them if they want.
Yep.
And they use the inside for their hunting quarters. And you'd be surprised at how some of those look.
So tell me real quick, where can folks take a look at those at? You got a website, right?
That's SouthernQSmokers.com. It has all my contact information. It also it has phone numbers. The website is actually being rebuilt right now. I've got another fellow barbecuer that's rebuilding it for us. And there is generic pictures and generic stuff of our cookers on there. And you also have all of our contacts, which we can email you anything else you want to see. And usually I have trailers listed on eBay with probably 30 photos of each one on there. So
you're that guy then. Okay, because I have done some porch trailer stalking, and now that you say that, it does match up with where you're from. So that is too funny. And you guys should go take a look at them. You're not the one, and once again, we haven't pre-talked about this. Do you have the option, I've seen them before on eBay, where the back is a porch, but it's got the big doors that kind of come up, so it kind of doubles as almost like a little bit of an awning, but it kind of keeps your smoker secured too. Is that you or not, Scott?
No, I'll build you one of those, but I don't like those simply. And Freedom, the manufacturer for me, those doors, when it rains and that plywood that's in that inner shell gets wet, those doors wind up getting too heavy for the shocks to hold them up.
Oh,
and
good point.
The big doors on an 8 and 10 foot porch normally will bow and start warping in the middle. I've got mine actually with solid sides halfway up, like you've seen in Florida.
Yeah.
And I don't have any cover there because those doors just get so warpy. I've actually replaced some, worked on some from other manufacturers, and they can lead to more trouble than they're worth, in my opinion.
Okay. No, I think that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that, but when I sit back and just give it the giggle test, you've got a pretty good point there about, you know, obviously they're going to take a lot of weather, and when they do, they're going to swell, so that's going to be a little bit of an issue. So let's talk a little bit about the cooker side of the business. What do you offer, Scott? What's some of the models, and do you have low and slow cookers? Are they just hot and fast cookers? You know, what do you do there over at Southern Q?
We have gravity feed cookers that's out on the market. Our gravity feeds are, I think, right now are second to none. We've got Southern Q has 17 grand championships this year in KCBS alone, and most of those being from my gravity cookers. I think we've got 6 or 7 on the water cookers, including the ones that I have, but we've got 10 or 11 on our gravity feed cookers, and they're just doing guys cooking on them. They're great cooks, and it's I've got two teams that I sponsor that are both doing awesome. They both, I think, have 3 grands apiece this year. And then even the people and customers that have bought them, everybody's got category wins on them. I've got 2 or 3 other customers that have bought them and have grands this year. They've won 2 or 3 of the Sam's events just in our region. Other views. And our water cookers are, we build water cookers in several sizes. I mean, we build everything from little patio model 48s all the way up to that 500 that you see that I have, plus the whole pod cookers. And our gravity feeds, we have 2 sizes. The limo is the most popular one out there now. And then we have the cube type you've seen around for years that most of them look like. I don't make many of those anymore, but we do still offer it.
Very cool, very cool. So obviously you got yourself busy there. Is this so between the trailers and the smokers, is this a full time job for you, Scott?
It is. That's all. I barbecue. I do about 32 weeks a year on tour, and I am full time for barbecue and smokers. That is all I do.
Dude, that is pretty awesome. So, is it ever a day where you get up and you regret turning this passion into a business?
There's not. I've got a great bunch of employees in the shop, and they do a wonderful job for us, and I enjoy what I do day in and day out, and I enjoy going to these cooks to meet new people, and I always show up somewhere 2 or 3 times a year in some town that's never heard of Southern Q. I think I showed up in one last week that never heard of it, but believe it or not, I sold 2 cookers between Saturday and Monday to people that were in that town. So it's always great. And it's also great to be around the Southeast. I mean, I go to any given comp in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and usually I'm competing against 10 to 12 of my other cookers in a 40-team field. 1/4 of the cookers there is cookers that I've built. So that's always a good feeling, too, just to see those guys out there and see everybody trying hard and being glad that, hey, you know, I got 1/4 of this field sewed up with Southern Q cookers. It makes me feel good that, you know, 25% of the people out there chose me as to all the other brands they could have chose, because there's a lot of great cookers out there.
Absolutely. So I know you sponsor a Jim Burke. Who's the other one?
Swiggin' Pig, Barry Johnson.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about Barry not too long ago. Me and Walt actually were. Barry's a hell of a cook. And
I'm proud of Barry. He's had an awesome year with his this year. Barry sold a lot of cookers for me, and Swiggin' Pig alone has done an awesome. I think they have 3 grands this year, and
yep.
I'm glad to have him in the Southern Q family, him and Jim both, and both of those guys mean a lot to me.
Awesome, man, awesome. So let's talk a little bit before we run out of time. We got, I told you 30 minutes, but I'm going to take you 40 because we only got 12 minutes left. I don't think you knew it would be this easy to talk. I mean, you probably could have carried 2 hours, Scott. So let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You make the ride up to Indiana. Did you get up there Thursday night, Friday morning? What'd you do?
Well, me and my son left out Thursday. We drove to Louisville on Thursday night, got a room, and basically went across the river. I mean, Jeffersonville is wouldn't exist, they tell me, if it wasn't for Louisville. It's just across the Ohio River there. We did drive up Thursday, showed up in there Friday morning around 9, 10 o'clock. But I didn't get power until Friday night at like 5:30 or 6, which wasn't an issue for me. I mean, I went ahead and prepped all my meats and done everything I needed to do, and we used water at the nearest watering hole we could get to if we needed it. But it was a great contest.
Excellent. And so you get there. So are you a guy, do you sleep in your truck, you sleep in the trailer, you grab a hotel room, being a hot and fast guy, what works for you?
I am definitely a hotel guy. I mean, I'm Hampton, Holiday, Hilton, you name it. I am definitely a comfort hotel guy, preferably with a bar and a nice restaurant and the whole nine. I'm usually out of the cook site on Friday,
after the cook's meeting, and I show back up on Saturday morning, usually at 5 a.m.
Excellent. So you show up at 5 to start building the fire?
Yes, sir.
And meat goes on at what, 6?
Yeah, 5:30.
5:30? Really? Wow. So what does it take? And that big smoker that you cooked on at Tampa, what's it take to build a fire in that from a fuel point of view?
I usually put 2 bags of charcoal, somewhere between 30 and 35 pounds, 32 ounces of lighter fluid and a match.
Really? So you're a lighter fluid guy?
I've been a lighter fluid guy my whole career. For 5 years, I've never had a lighter fluid note.
Really? And so did you say, and I may have missed it on the charcoal, is that briquettes or is that lump?
Briquettes.
Briquettes. And so I mean, obviously, once it gets hot, are you adding some wood in there or are you just running briquettes the whole time?
No, after the tire's getting hot, before I ever even put meat on, I do cook with fruit wood. Normally, peach is my choice, and then apple and cherry.
Well, you know, one good point you bring up there, and I talked to a couple guys about it this weekend, is, you know, folks don't know, you know, especially if you're using that much charcoal, you're going to get to me, you're going to get what I call your deep wood color and flavor from that charcoal. So to me, I always like to offset it with something a little bit sweet. So it's good to hear a great cook like yourself kind of say the same thing.
I do. I believe fruit wood gives me some of the color that I try to achieve, but I mean, you take 30 pounds of charcoal, I know guys that run Weber's and they'll run through a 20 pound bag of charcoal and they're cooking one category on, you know, ribs,
right,
or chicken. And I don't know, 30 to 35 pounds, depending the size of the bag, I don't really care. I pour them both in there. And it is, charcoal will hold your heat, but by the time, I don't know, by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I don't hardly have any charcoal left anyway. I wind up with one small fire in the back left corner of my firebox, and I'm strictly burning wood, and I get a great flavor into my chicken and ribs that way, and that's just what works for us. That's the way the smoker kind of runs itself, and I don't have any gurus on the water cooker model, and we really don't have any worries about that. I mean, it's a 2-inch insulated cooker, and it kind of does its own thing to the meat the way I need it done.
But because of that, do you try to minimize the amount of time you're in the cooker? I mean, obviously, you've got a program down about how many times you got to open the door, but is that something you kind of try to monitor a little bit in moving your categories around?
No. I mean, I cook on a Southern Q500. Before I've got more than enough room, I don't need to move anything, but I don't have to open my door for anything unless I'm putting something on or taking something out. I don't really open it. You know, during rib time, we'll open it doing some spritzing, but normally there's not any opening and closing of mine from the time the meat goes on at 5:30. We may pan meat at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, somewhere along there, and then it doesn't open again until I do chicken and ribs. I mean,
the
temperature broke is usually in my meat, and I don't open it for nothing. I don't need to open it for water. If I open it up, it's usually running a little hotter than I want.
Right.
That's
okay, so you told me, you know, you can run between 350 and 425. So on chicken and ribs, if that thing's running a little bit higher, do you have enough experience that you'll back up that time that you're going to go on, or how do you kind of manage that?
Well, the cooker kind of run there again. I don't have that problem. And if you control the damper right, you can still set the temp. Chicken and ribs, I normally do around 300 to 315. And if I have a trouble running hot, it may be for 30 minutes, because after that I'm opening and closing the cooker for spritzing. And as you know, opening and closing will bring it down.
But yep.
Normally,
sure,
I can spritz ribs, and it might drop to 285, but it's right back at 3 to 315 and within a minute.
Yep. Very cool. I mean, a cooker that big, 2-inch insulated, I mean, the recovery on it has to be phenomenal.
Well, that 13 gallons of water helps hold the heat, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. So let's walk a little bit through the categories, talk about this weekend. So you get there, you get fired up on Saturday morning. And when we look at chicken, you guys finished 7th. You just kind of a straight thighs guy, or are you one of those guys that preps chicken really hard, or are you Are you just kind of trimming it up and running from there?
I just kind of do a lackadaisy trim job on it and run it from there, but I don't cook thighs.
Okay. Leg guy?
Legs and wings.
Man, interesting. Something to take note of. Never have ran those two together. Have ran legs, have ran thighs and wings, but never legs and wings. That is, I learned
like
something.
To do, I like to do six legs and six drumettes in a box. It's like there's, you know, six crippled chickens in there to form a one long leg, one short leg.
I've never heard it said that way. That's pretty damn funny. That is too cool. Are you a brine guy, a marinade guy, anything crazy like that?
I do some brining. I will do some brining on Fridays. Yes, I do. I do brine.
Okay. Something you make or something off the shelf?
Something off the shelf. It's usually in any grocery store on the soup aisle. It's called chicken broth.
I'll tell you what, Scott, that just makes too much damn sense. Chicken broth and chicken?
What I do is very simple. Just don't buy the low sodium, you know. It's,
right.
It's pretty simple.
Excellent. So we move on to pork ribs. You take second there. Are you a St. Louis or a back rib guy?
I'm a St. Louis guy, and I've got to give a lot of credit to my son this week for ribs. I've got a 14-year-old that I have had 33rd place ribs in Augusta and 33rd place ribs in New Harley and had notes on both of them, and I just kind of threw my – it was part of the reason I showed up in Indiana, and my son was cooking some ribs for a customer this week – or that week, and I kind of let him take over the rib thing for me that day. I mean, he has got it, but I kind of let him do the cooking, the spritzing, the panning. We took a little time off of them because I got some overdone notes, but I'm a St. Louis guy.
Well, that's got to be pretty cool, though. Father's Day weekend, letting your boy cook ribs and he takes second. You got to be a pretty proud papa.
Very proud of him. He's done a great job.
Man, that is awesome. You like the marinade or brine on those, or are you just gonna leave them and I mean, well that would be a weird question for you. I mean, so will you season them before you go to the hotel?
Ribs?
Yeah.
No, I don't even pull ribs out of the vacuum until 6 a.m. after my meat's on.
Okay. Interesting.
I just do rub. I don't do any brines.
Okay. So then we move on to pork, second place pork. You cooking anything crazy there? You just cooking IBPs or Smithfields, or you messing around with the Duroc or Berkshire?
IBPs. I've done some Berkshire last year. Neiman Ranch had a product I used a couple of years ago for a while, but I buy IBPs, two packs, right off the shelf.
Yep. Yeah, they're hard to go wrong with. And obviously, I'm not saying obviously because I don't know. Are you injecting?
Yes.
You, kind of your own concoction or something off the shelf that you doctor up?
It's off a grocery store shelf, but yeah, it's a little combo. I'm not a big big fan of some of the mixing injections. I've tried several of them. I'm just not a big fan of them.
Well, you know your boy Barry over there has said on the show numerous times he doesn't inject pork or brisket.
I've heard that. I know quite a few that don't do any injecting, but yeah, Barry, he drives most of his flavor with his rubs and whatever rubs he's using, he does a good job with them, and he drives flavor with that, and I've heard a lot of cooks say, I can drive all the flavor I need with a rub. I mean, I know a lot of teams that don't do any injecting.
Yeah, and that's, I guess I kind of grew up in the injection era, and so it kind of surprises me, but I mean, obviously, if you look at the results of the guys I talked to and have told me that, they're obviously onto something. So you've got a 7, a 2, and a 2 right now. Going into brisket, how do you feel about your brisket going into this final category at awards?
At awards? Well, I was sitting next to the number one brisket cook in the country, also the number two cook in the country. Donnie and I kind of hung out that weekend, and He looked at me and said, "How was your rescue?" And I said, "Spot on. I think I was number 7 last week in rescue." Pork chop was still on top with one. And I said, "How was yours?" And he said, "Well, I set it against my other three categories." And he and I both had 3 calls, and they were real close. And I thought my brisket was there. He thought his was there. And when they got down to the top 5, neither one of us had been called. They got down to 2, neither one had been called. The guy had a pause waiting on the third place guy to walk up. I just figured one of us had 1 or 2, or possibly the 2 of us had 1 and 2, and we had neither. When they called 2 and it wasn't me or him, I patted him on the leg and I said, "You got it." And he patted me back and said, "No, I think you got it." And they called neither one of us. I wound up 11 and he was 21, but it was a nail biter because of the brisket.
Right, yeah, sure. I mean, when you've got that one missed category, you're wondering, well, you know, how bad was it perceived, you know? And so
how bad?
Exactly. So you end up not getting hit too hard there. You end up winning the contest by, you know, a little less than 3 points. It had to make for a pretty good ride home with you and your son, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I called Barry on my way out of there, and he said, "Well, you can get another 100 miles on the excitement of a good win." So it did make the drive a little shorter.
Absolutely. One thing before we get going, you know, the one thing me and you do have in common, I'm low and slow, you're hot and fast, you've got a prettier trailer than me, but we both got great tasting coolers, you know? We both like those Grizzly coolers.
They do. Grizzly's done a good job. They've really stepped up this year with quite a few teams out there, as you know, We're a Grizzly dealer also, and usually have them in stock. If I'm coming to a comp, I can save, you know, the customer shipping. But Grizzly's really done a lot with Barbecue World this year, and I'm proud of them. I hope to be with them for a few more years. We've got a lot of things planned out in the future, got a lot of new coolers coming out, and Grizzly's kind of like me. They're not afraid to change a color or do something different. I mean, I can custom get these things in anything, as you know, but that's... They're a great cooler. They do a good job for us. They're helping my kid with the junior and the kids' Q stuff. And they've really come out into the world strong this year.
No, I completely agree. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, people ask me all the time, and I'm sure you get this same question. You know, what's the difference between it and a Yeti? And I owned a Yeti in the past, and my things are, you know, a couple of things. One, I think it's built a little bit better. Two is I love the lifetime warranty. You know, and 3, guess what? They've actually participated in our barbecue world. You know what I'm saying? And to
exactly.
Me, that's a huge difference. I mean, when you invest in what we do, then I think that's a brand that I want to follow.
I agree. I'm impressed with who, you know, helps out our community and who steps up and done what some of these guys have done. And I think Grizzly's doing an awesome job.
Excellent, man. Who else you want to hit on the way out, Scott, before we wrap this segment?
Wicked Q. I mean, I use a lot of Wicked Q props.
Jeff's got a damn fine line, doesn't he?
Jeff has an awesome line of products. I like Wicked Q products. I do use those week in and week out. And, of course, with the Southern Q Smokers, Grizzly Coolers, Freedom Trailers. But I can't say enough for any of the 4 of those guys.
Excellent, man. Well, Scott, thanks so much for short notice joining us tonight. And it's been a pleasure. And if you'd like to, man, I'd love to have you back on again.
I'd love to. Yeah, just hit me up and maybe I can get on another week after I win would be great.
Awesome, man. Congratulations. Enjoy it. Where are you cooking next?
I'll be in Clarksville, Tennessee this weekend. And then I think I'm going to do Metropolis, Illinois.
Excellent, man. Best of luck to you. Safe travels. And go back-to-back, brother.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Scott Smith, Q and Stewart and Brewing, QSB Trailers, Southern Q Smokers. Guys, class act. Got to meet him in Tampa. Really, really, really great guy. Wish him all the luck and continued success in 2013. Real quick, speaking of class act, I want to talk about my buddy Craig Sherry over there at TexasPepperJelly.com. Craig, great guy. If you haven't tried out his pepper jelly products or his rib candy, you are missing out. Big pineapple habanero an apple cinnamon fan here. Makes it on all four of our categories. And I would tell you, if you haven't played around with it, you need to get some, and you need to give Craig a call. And Craig is a guy you can call and bounce some things off of him. But go over there, TexasPepperJelly.com, and get loaded up. You can also grab it on TheBBQSuperstore.com while you're ordering the rest of your goodies for your next competition or cookout. That being said, let me come over and pull up Jason Wickham, Team Unknown Barbecue. JW, what's up, Bubba?
Good evening. How you doing?
Good, man. Doing great. Are you all rested up from this weekend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Took a couple of days, but we're good.
Did y'all sell more pork or drink more beer? What'd y'all do?
I think it was even. We did a lot of both. it was hot. It was about 9,000 degrees out, so we had to stay hydrated.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. I saw some pictures, and it looked like you guys were having a blast, and also looked like the crowd was great, man. Did you have a good turnout?
Yeah, it was a steady in and out. There was a lot of people throughout the day, and it worked out good for us. We didn't have any, like, huge lines. But out there at the Moose Lodge, they had, like, a little offset kitchen, like a AC kitchen setup, so we got to put all of our help that was selling the food in there, so it made it a little more pleasant for them.
Dude, it was great there. I know the wife and the crew from Winter Haven Fire Department came out and they said it was a really looked like a really good turnout while they were there. So I'm glad to hear it. Do we know how much you guys cooked? As far as from a numbers point of view?
But as far as what was sold or throughout the day, I don't know the total raise from the day was right at $8,000 that 100% is going to the tornado victims. And for something put together in 2 weeks and everybody volunteering and everybody from the local community pitching in and donating meat and all the products and coming out there and making it happen. We're happy with that. They're going up there. Mike Guy and Donnie Harp, they were invited up for the July 4th celebration, so they're going to fly up there and deliver. They're shooting for $10,000 to take to them, so they've got some more checks coming to them, so I don't see that being a problem. They also had a couple that were down from Moore County that came down, and they spoke on stage and everything. It was really cool. Not a dry eye around when those guys were up there, but it was definitely emotional talking and hearing from those guys.
Dude, that is absolutely amazing. I mean, that is I mean, like you said, for 2 weeks, you know, just you know, beg, borrowing, stealing, calling in favors to raise $8,000. That is to me, that's phenomenal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we're happy with it. We would love for it to have been more, but you know that's a lot of sandwiches and a lot of $1 beers, and you know they had auctioned off a few different items that people donated, and there was a couple other vendors out on the thing for selling different odds and ends, but definitely it was a good turnout for such short notice, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Well, you know, that's made me kind of, you know, when I was thinking about it yesterday and today, kind of made me come up with an idea in my head for us FBA guys, and that is, I mean, we know who takes care of these folks, like, when the disaster happens, and that's Operation Barbecue Relief, you know?
Right.
You know, would it be something to maybe find a weekend where, you know, it's not so deadly hot, where we could almost be a little bit proactive, you know, and put together something where, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us competition teams got together and had something real similar to what you guys did and donate the funds to Operation Barbecue Relief. You know, and like I said, it was just something that kind of came to my mind while I was looking back at all the success you guys had. Thinking, well, you know, if we could really plan it out and have a couple months' notice, you know, that there's no better group than those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And if we could, I mean, I'm down for it. You know, all of us guys from Polk County are in, because you never know when something's going to hit or when there's going to be a flood or your house gets blown to smithereens. So yeah, if we can, you know, we have the equipment, the time, and you know, the passion to do it. That's definitely a good way to put some money in the bank to where it's sitting there on go for when something does happen, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. That's I kind of wanted to run that by you impromptu. Is like I said, I mean, it was just something that came to me over the last day or two. because I think what you guys did with the short notice, and we've got to give Civil War Steve, you know, Steve Daniels, huge props. We call him Civil War Steve, but actually since we're giving him props, we're going to call him Steve Daniels tonight. But
yeah,
from over there at Team Unknown, Steve has worked his ass off and called everybody that he knows in the greater Polk County area to get, you know, whatever he could to make this a success, a done deal, you know?
Yeah, he does. He puts, you know, he puts his heart into it, and he really loves giving, you know, to people when he can. So, but you got Steve, you got Rub and Amy from Swamp Boys that came out, David from All Racked Up, Brian from Staggering Swine and Bovine, he came out and sweated his butt off Saturday, and they all came out and just really pitched in. The guys over at Meat Rake, they sent out some a couple sets of those deals, man. Those are pretty handy. I mean, a lot of people pitched in and showed up, and you know, just what can I do? Where can I, you know, give a hand? And it made it a lot more enjoyable. I'll tell you what, as hot as it was, you would have thought there would have been a lot more attitude being flung around, but for the cause that was being had, it was pleasant.
That is awesome. You got any idea, you know, how many people may have walked through the gates?
I know it was over 1,000. I mean, it was well over the low estimate. Because it was from 1 o'clock until probably, I don't know, we left at 10:30. So, and the parking lot was never empty, and I kept seeing new faces. So, and it was a big, you know, it was a couple acres of the parking. So it's hard to say. I don't know if they ever got a number of how many people came in, because it was kind of like a donation thing.
Yeah,
they were charging
yeah,
$1
sure.
a carload to park, but, you know, people were giving more. So, I mean, it was a good atmosphere, and it made you feel good doing it. It kicked our butt. Sunday was real tough recovering, but, you know, it was well worth it.
Dude, that is awesome. Any idea how much as far as food-wise? I mean, do you guys, between you and Rub, David, and all the guys that threw food on smokers, do you have any idea how many butts you guys knocked out?
Yeah, we did 42 butts on Rub's just Friday night, and then as soon as those came off, we went and loaded his cooker full of ribs. And then Mike over at Bubba Chuck's, he put 16 butts on his cooker, and I went over there in the morning and picked those up. We had a few left over because we were just exhausted and didn't know which way we were looking. But ribs sold out quick. Everything was, I mean, we did quite well. I mean, for, you know, what we were looking at, facing, and not knowing how many people was going to show up, everybody got fed, everybody was happy, and I think it was a big success.
Dude, that's awesome. What did that star, Dorsey O'Dell, sound like on stage Saturday night?
It sounded good. I mean, I couldn't hear real good because, you know, my eyes were crossed. I was probably dehydrated. But he was, you know, he did a real good set over at the camp Friday night and impressed a lot of people. And then they put him on about 9:30 Saturday night, and he was gassed out. So he was hurting a little bit, but he you know, he held it together and put on a good show.
He brought it home for the cause. I like it.
Oh, definitely.
Good deal, man. So, dude, once again, thanks for just doing that. I mean, it makes all of us barbecuers, you know, and like I said, if I wouldn't have had a commitment, I'd have loved to have been there with you guys. You know, I mean, I think it's just cool, and I think it just speaks volumes about the folks that are associated with what we do. So, once again, thanks again. What do you guys got ahead?
We got Live Oak coming up and Kid Pack. I think that's the next two that we're looking at.
Cool deal.
Right now, looking at taking a little bit of break and get a little family time caught up and get rehydrated and then hit it hard.
Dude, sounds good to me, my man. So I am. I will see you. Hopefully, good Lord willing, I'll see you at both.
Awesome.
We will hopefully cross paths there at Live Oak and then turn around and do it again here in Lakeland for Kids Pack. So, dude, wish you all the best. Enjoy the time with the family this summer. And we will talk to you soon, JW.
Appreciate it. You too, man. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye. All right, guys, there it is. JW, Jason Wickham from Team Unknown Barbecue. What a great cause. What a great job. 2 weeks. These guys raised $8,000 and hopefully going to finish that number up at 10 before they go out and make that formal donation, which I think is pretty kick-ass. I don't do this often, guys, but I'm going to wrap the show early. You know why I'm going to wrap the show early? Because my good buddy, Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q, is going to be over on my other good buddy, Greg Grimpy's show, tonight at 9:30. So I'm going to give you all the time in the world to go make another drink, get yourself over there, and check it out. Jim's going on, I believe, about 9:30. OutdoorCookingChannel.com, TheOutdoorCookingChannel.com. Go check it out. He will be on the Barbecue Central show. So go over there, check it out, and we'll talk to you then. Till next week, if you've been here long enough, you know, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.